So good evening, everyone. And sometimes, normally, when our supporters to come to support us, and then normally we give them a blessing, but normally it's like we wish all your good wishes be fulfilled. And for most people, they think that, you know, it's a good thing, isn't it? Whatever we want, we can get it. But sometimes it's not really a good thing, isn't it? We can't always get what we want. And just recently, just a few months ago, it's just there was an incident. There was this young boy. So because he was playing his mobile phone in the class, and then the teacher snatches the phone and confiscate his phone, that, you know, take away his phone. He was get so upset and so angry. He ran all the way up to the top, you know, the roof of the, I don't know how many stories, and he jumped down and he died. Like, this is how, like, you know, we always get what we want. When we can't get what we want, it's something big thing, isn't it? It's just, you can't handle, you think, it's the end of the world, we can't get what we want. Because the craving, the wanting itself, you know, when we feeding it, it grow like a demons, you know, it grow bigger and bigger. And you want more and more and more. And it's never end. And this is how, and you know, sometimes that we think that we can get what we want is something good, is good. We don't always get what we want, isn't it? And this part, and there's a few incidents, not only one. Like the mother snatched the phone, and they get so upset. Then they run up to the, don't know how many stories, they jump down and they kill themselves. But it's a small thing, isn't it? But because we always get what we want, actually, we feeding it and grow. When we can't get what we want, we cannot handle. It become a terrible thing. So sometimes, like, you know, we ask ourselves, actually, what do we really need in our life that in order to be happy? Actually, not much, isn't it? But the one thing itself will never end. You can want a lot of things. You can keep feeding your one thing, and you want more and more and more. It's never end. And like olden days, like people, you know, what do we need in order to live? It's very simple. We need food. We need water, isn't it? And that's the things that we need to in order to live. But nowadays, like people, beside food, water, clothing, medicine, now people can't live without Wi-Fi, isn't it? Can't live without mobile phone. I remember my sister used to talk. She told me that I couldn't understand that my children, they first thing wake up in the morning, they're holding the mobile phone. Even they go to the toilet, they're also holding the mobile phone and go into the toilet. And that, you know, having the mobile phone, like, they can't live without mobile phone. And then this is something that, you know, because you get addicted to that. You can't, it's just like, you can't live without, becomes like, they says nowadays, they say, beside food, lodging, shelter, medicine, the another thing we can't live without is Wi-Fi. I can't live without Wi-Fi. I know one of my nuns' parents that they refuse to come to stay at the monastery because they rather to stay out than they come. They say, you know, you can come and stay with us the monastery. There, one of the reasons they refuse to come to stay in the monastery because of no Wi-Fi. I said, I don't want to come and stay because no Wi-Fi. And this is really, there's, and then because the one thing itself, actually, what you want, actually, is also give rise to grief when we can't get what we want. So we want that one thing to be and one thing not to be. One thing, the things that we think is nice, is pleasant. And one thing not to have things that is unpleasant. One thing, things that we don't want to have. You know, that is that we don't, because we don't understand, most of the people don't understand that if you feed your craving, the one thing actually is grow and make it worse. You cannot satisfy, it's go bigger and bigger. I remember one of my friends, he told me that his brother-in-law, and he always get what he wants. He's so rich that he can whatever he wants, he can get. and he goes to, you know, he's almost like visit all the whole world. He traveled the whole world. He always go, you know, on holidays, you know, to different places every year on holidays until not any other place that he wished to go anymore, because nothing excited anymore, no excitement. And then he can spend whatever, you know, whatever he want, he can spend. You know, then until the point that nothing can satisfy him. You know, all those excitement, because you feed it, you want more excitement, more and more, no end. And then at the end, both of them, husband and wife, they're in their 50s. Then my friend told me, you know, they're not old enough to know better. They're in their 50s. You know what they did? He said, I couldn't believe what they did. They both take those ecstasy pills, give them excitement. He said that I could not believe, like someone, it's not like you can understand when someone is young, teenagers, they don't know better, you know what I mean? But he said, I could not believe my brother-in-law did that. He said, both of them, husband and wife, that did that. He was so mad with them, he really scolded, how come you do that, you know? Because they cannot satisfy anymore. Just keep feeding it. But most of the people don't know how to handle. They don't understand. When they have they want something, they think that is the object itself give them the happiness. And then when they can't get what they want, and then they also think that the object, the things outside, they create suffering for them. They're unable to see. You know, they don't take responsibility. They will start to blame everyone. I remember that before I come to the monastery, and I was waiting for my visas to be approved, granted, before I come in. And one of my sisters, she'd been abused by her husband many years. And that night, I was still midnight, I was sleeping, and she knocked on my door, ran in. She said she had to run away from her husband. Then I didn't even pack my thing, pick up anything. I hopped into the car with her, with her two girls, you know, and we escaped. And her husband chasing after us. I feel like, you know, like this movie, you know, someone chasing after you, we run away, we try to escape. And he really chased after us, he's tried to stop us, quite dangerous, and my sister was driving. Then eventually he didn't follow us, because he think that he's very smart. He think that we will go to the police station. So he turned around, he went to the, I think he, because I told my sister, I said he didn't follow us, he must be going to the nearest police station. He think that we will go there. I said, no, we are not going there. I said, we are not going there. Okay, we go somewhere else. So we managed to find a place to stay for that night. So I said, then we go to another place, the police station, to make a report, and I have to find her a woman refuge place. So we got that, and then we managed to it's really so stressful. We have to go to the police station, almost spend a whole day, and find a place for her to stay, you know, for her two girls and her. And we managed to get a court order, restraint order, for him not to come close by, and I have to hide, because I know if he find me, he kill me. And he didn't want to take responsibility. He think that, you know, that the husband run away is because the family, is because of me, I took her wife away. He didn't want to take responsibility. Actually, it's come from, he's been abused her wife. But and my sister go to temple, then he think that it's because of the sister going to temple, and because of the monks, because of the people there, because my sister go to temple to try to find peace. You know? But for him, he blamed everyone. He blamed the monk. He blamed monk, he blamed my families, you know, he blamed me, you know. That's, I know he's, if he found me, he will kill me. And he's true, you know, he just smashed all the windows, you know, went to my father's place, you know. He threw all the bricks into the window, and he smashed all the window. And he took knife, he went to my brother's place. So when my brothers get down from the car, he used a knife put on my brother's neck, not luckily nothing happened to my brother. I tell you, it's really, really, you know, that kind of experience, you know. And for him, he didn't see that anything wrong with him. He think that it's because of the family is the one who convinced the wife to leave him. And then I remember my friend asked me, how come your sister married someone like that, so aggressive, abusive? And I told my friend, I said, actually, he wasn't like that. When my sister first married him in the early days, he wasn't like that. I said, he's like that, my sister definitely won't marry someone like that, because he's changed. Because when my sister first married him, he was, everything goes very good, his business going well, everything smooth. Then he think that he's so good, he's so smart, because everything goes his way. Then when his business start to go down, when things don't really go his way, and rather than he looking at, investigate the problem, why, you know, business not going, what is the problem, isn't it? But he blaming others, he thinking that, you know, maybe the people outside, other people, you know, that it's not his fault, nothing wrong with him. So he will blame everyone except himself. It's nothing wrong with him, because he think that because he been, everything been smooth, everything goes his way. So of course he think that he, because then he misinterpret that, he think that he be able to manipulate, he can make, you know, everything, you know, go his way. But actually, no, it's just that the karma, you know, the karma so happened that it's come together, things goes well. And then when things goes well, then people misinterpret that, oh, I'm the one, I'm so good, I'm so smart, I can manipulate, I can control, it's under my control. But actually, it's not life. We don't know what is going to happen. Lies ahead on us. And then he not able to take responsibility, to investigate, to understand why we suffer. So we always, when you know, we the one thing to be, one thing not to be. When something that pleasant, we want more. Even sometimes people meditate, you know, when they have peaceful and they come to me, oh, I'm so peaceful. So what is next? Can I make myself, you know, even it's a more peaceful, they want more peaceful. Peaceful is not enough. And then see people, I don't know here, in Malaysia, I found some many people, they like to buy all those, those supplements, you know. And healthy is not enough. They want to be healthier. And then they start themselves with all these pills, all these supplements, you know, because they want to be healthier, you know. Healthy is not enough. And this is how the one thing you want more is not enough. You know, that, then they want more. And then when there's something that is unpleasant, then they try to push it away. They try to get rid of it. But you can't get rid. And then you come from one thing to be and one thing not to be. So a lot of people think that, oh, this is unpleasant, I don't want this. And even those people know that this is going to cause me suffering. So they think that, okay, If I want this object and this is going to cause me suffering, and then they try to get rid of the object, or they try to get rid of the things that they think that causes them suffering. But actually, it's not the object itself, it's a problem. They're unable to see what arises within this moment. When there is a contact, feeling arises. Pleasant, unpleasant, but unable to say that. But most people would think that the object is outside. I remember that Achan Chas, when he was still a very young monk, and he said that he made a determination that, okay, during 3 months, I'm not going to see, I'm not going to look at any woman at all. You know, so 3 months Vasa, so he didn't look at any woman. And then he said, the moment after 3 months, the moment he looked at a woman, he overcome by lust. So then actually it's not the woman is a problem, isn't it? The lust arises within, even without the, it just doesn't mean that the lust is come from the object. It's not the woman itself arise the lust. Actually, the lust itself, if we think there is a contact, unable to see that, but we always think that we bound by the object outside. We think it, when we think that our problem is there giving us a problem, and then we think that we try to get rid of it. So then people don't see that actually not one thing not to be itself is still one thing. people can't see that. I remember my friend that she's been able to recollect her past life. And she said, oh, so much suffering. I've been so many lifetimes. So I don't want to be reborn anymore. So she tried very hard to practice and meditate. The harder she tried, the worse. She becomes very sick. Why? Because she wanting not to be. So from wanting not to be is still one thing. And she can't see that. And she tried very hard. She tried very hard, you know, to really practice hard. She tried to get rid. She said, I don't want to be reborn. So, but not one thing. One thing not to be is still one. They can't see that. The sense of self, we try to control. We try to control that. Okay, this is this something is unpleasant. I don't want to have it. Yeah. But this is not the way. But most people don't see that actually it becomes counterproductive. Actually, you are feeding it. You add on more fuel. You feeding your defilements. You feeding that one thing. And actually, it will grow. But how to stop that? So how to stop that? So we can't use willpower to stop, and we can't get rid of it. Actually, that we have the practice is that we practice that we be able to make peace and at ease and at peace with all the situation we are in. So we cannot control what's going to happen, isn't it? We cannot control what's going to happen next. But that is how the practice is we be able to see, to develop the mindfulness, awareness to what comes up in this moment and what's really bind us, what really gives us the suffering. But we always think that outside the object is causing us suffering, but we are unable to see that. How to be able to see that? And most people try to get rid of their suffering and try to get rid of their problem. We cannot get rid of our suffering. We cannot get rid of our problem. We can't even solve a problem. We can only solve a problem by solving a problem by getting rid of our problem. You can't solve. The only way we can solve a problem is by understand our problem, understand where is it coming from. But most people, because of it's unpleasant, these people run away. By suppressing or running away, you are reinforcing. You reinforce. You make it worse. And you reinforce that tendency. I remember some years ago, there was a lady. Because I wrote a support letter for her that, you know, because of she killed her husband. Because of she been abused for many years. And she didn't know how to deal with that. And all she knows, she just suppressed. She didn't know how to look for a place, to look for help, to call helpline. She just only every time she keeps suppressing. And then over years, to a point that one day she cannot suppress anymore. She really gone crazy. She was insane. She didn't even know. She cannot recall how she killed her husband. She couldn't even remember because that moment that you've been suppressing to a point that you cannot suppress anymore, you explode. And she cannot remember how she killed her husband. And then I'm also helped to write letter to support her. And then she managed to reduce her sentence because she had a lot of evidence that she'd been abused. And now she's already out. And now she's doing a lot of social work and a bit of service, helping others how to deal with abusers, you know, and how to get, you know, how to deal with that. And also she's helping people that been abused and also being also on the helpline and things like that. Because last time she said she didn't know all this. She didn't know how to look for help. But now she knows, and she go out to help others. So giving bit of service. So opposite one thing, that is giving. That is the antidote to giving. Giving. And also that giving is the antidote of getting what we want. So when we get what we want, actually we want more and more. And then actually we will stir up, you know, that we want more and more. And then, yes, the kind of happiness that is just like borrowed happiness. And then after that, we want more. Like, for example, sometimes we think that, oh, only if I got a small house, I'd be happy. Then we have a small house, we think that, oh, maybe we get a bigger one, then I'd be happy. Isn't it? Then we got, this is the one thing, want more and more and more. The only thing that to stop the suffering actually is to stop the one thing. But make sure that you stop, that you cut the right end, don't cut the wrong end. You know, but sometimes our craving, our hand, one thing we want this, we keep grabbing. So we have to cut this side, don't cut your arm. You know, but people think that you know that the object is a problem. For example, like even monastic, some monastic that, oh, okay, we shouldn't indulge in sensory pleasure. We should be simple. We should, you know. Then I've seen some people that practice this ascetic practice, and then they put all, mix all the food and put water, and then terrible, they mix it, and then they try to eat it. They force themselves. Then they think that they'll be able to go against their craving. They go against their sensory pressure. And even Buddha's being criticized by the Brahmin, because he said that, you know, the Buddha sometimes being, you know, invited to house Dana, and they prepare lots of food, you know, they have all delicious food, lots of curries and all the sumptuous dessert, you know. Then he said, you know, the Brahmin, we eat so little, we only eat one meal, and then we eat very simple, we eat very little. And then they think that the Buddha's side is not pure because of the Buddha eat, you know, all this sumptuous food and all the delicious food, and we being simple. So he think that the Buddha is not pure because of his indulge in the sensory pleasure. So the Buddha said, it's not what we eat that makes you pure. Actually, it's you purify your mind. The practice is purify your mind. If it's the food can make us pure, then it's easy, isn't it? We all just eat, you know, that. It's nothing wrong. Like sometimes people used to come to me that, shall I be vegetarian or not vegetarian? And what shall I offer? Shall I offer you vegetarian food or non-vegetarian food? I normally tell them, whatever you offer, I'm happily take it. So I will not ask for vegetarian or non-vegetarian. It's not the food to purify your mind. It's a practice. You know, this is the teaching of all the Buddha. At the beginning, we have to refrain ourselves from doing something unwholesome. Then actively, we develop good. So like, be of service, you know, be kind to help others, you know. And this is how we actively develop this quality. But of course, like sometimes we are very difficult to see ourselves. You know, that's why sometimes we, like to give, to let go, the happiness come from letting go, the happiness not come from getting. But of course, you know, some people don't even know that what they're attached to, what they can't see themselves. You know, first of all, how to stop the one thing? To stop the one thing, first of all, you have to develop your clarity of mind, the awareness, clear comprehension, be able to see that what are the things that really causes you problem, what you the one thing itself, you know. That sometimes we some of the things that we think that this will make us happy, we want this, and it's not necessary that really bring us happiness. And I remember that some years ago, and one of my friends, she offered me to go to Burma. And Before she gave that offerings, I was okay. I don't have to go to Burma in order to be happy. But after she offered me to go to Burma, and that night I cannot sleep. The whole night I start thinking of tomorrow, how am I going to convince the abbot to let me go to Burma? The mind go on and on and on. Then after that, I just stopped. I said, why? You know, before that, I was so peaceful, I'm okay, I'm happy. But because of that trigger of that one thing, I think, oh yeah, it's nice to go there. And I got sucked in and think that I have to go to Burma. And then I start thinking of how to get what I want, how to convince. Then after that, I realized actually I don't have to go to Burma in order to be happy. I was happy. I was okay. But this is sometimes we think that, you know, by getting that we'd be happy, unable to see that. Sometimes we got stuck in, unable to see that because of sometimes we lack of mindfulness. And but luckily, I still be able to see that after that, you know, the whole night. And now I was thinking, what am I doing? Why, you know, I got sucked in. Then I realized, okay, so tomorrow I will speak to the abbot. If she said I can go, fine. If I can't go, fine. Because I know that I don't have to go to Burma in order to be happy. So sometimes some of the things that actually we can go without. And we are unable to see that. Why? Because we don't have enough clarity. So the letting go will not happen overnight. You know, the happiness comes from letting go. The happiness is not come from getting what we want. They say sometimes like to wish someone to get what that one, what they want, I think it's better to wish someone that may you not always get what you want. So sometimes when we get not what cannot get what we want, say, yeah, good, we can't get what we want. Sometimes life is like that. Because why people suffer? Because they don't understand life. It's part of life. This is part of life. It's come with the whole package. We don't always get what we want. We think that we'll be able to manipulate. We think that we can get what we want. We can get our way. This comes from the sense of self, the ego. And I sometimes find it so strange that people, I have people come to me and they're complaining about the corruption, you know, their speed, and they got fined, they got ticket, and then they pride the traffic police they give them, you know. Then they told me that they're so greedy, corruption, and I have to pay them so much. Then I look at the person and said, you don't have to do that. I said, if you don't speed, you know, you don't have to pay, isn't it? And but sometimes we still want to get away, you know. That I said, that is, you know, you don't speak, there's nothing happened, isn't it? You don't have to pay. But they're complaining that, you know, that I said, if you don't speak, you don't have to pay. You don't have to pride, you know, the traffic police. I said, you don't have to do that. And we used to have people come to us, like, you know, bless my car, they got a new car, they ask us to bless the car. Then we again sprinkle water. Then I told them, I can bless your car. The blessing only works if you drive within speed limit. So, doesn't mean that we bless your car, you can just speed, you know. I said, you can't. You know, sometimes this is how, again, the wanting, the craving come from the sense of self. We think that we can control, we can somehow, you know, to really get our way. And I find sometimes it's like, I think that you feel good because of you find that it's good that to challenge that, you know, to try to get our way, to find our way what we want. And you give you a sense of, you know, you're feeding your sense of self, you feel good about it, isn't it? I'd be able to do that, you know, I can get my way. And I said, you don't have to do that, you know. And this is how, that's because it's come from the sense of self. So that's to develop that, to let go of that one thing, that you, first of all, you have to develop present moment awareness. And first of all, you have to have the enough clarity, awareness, to be able to see, to recognize that, that's this one thing that causes you problems. Sometimes even people be able to see that one thing causes that problem, but they are not skillful because they're unable to see, you know, what's buying them, because they've been thinking of the object if a problem. Then they cut the wrong end. It's just like you cut your arm rather than to cut off the object, you know, to cut off, not to grab, but to cut off the arm. It doesn't mean that you don't see, you don't smell, and then you will not, you know, that you can, then everyone that blind, they can't see, you know, they can't hear, they can't touch, and they can't get enlightened. So because we think that all the sensory pleasure that causes us to be indulged in the sensory pleasure, that we get sucked in, we think that that causes us problem because of the object that we see, the sound that we hear, the object we touch. We think that they are the problem. We are unable to see what arises within this moment. So that's why, what what happened to us, we cannot control. But at least we train our mind that we be able to make peace and at ease and at peace with whatever we experience. So, because we cannot control what's going to happen. So that's why you have to develop that, you know, that present moment awareness, be able to really stay present and not be able to not to get sucked in, because sometimes sometimes we have this grief come out and we always, you know, because of the previous experience and that we have this grief and we always revisit. We hold on to the past, we always revisit, and then we experience the past again, the suffering again, but it's already past. And then it's become a habit. That's the problem. And when we keep doing that, each time we reinforce our defilements, the craving, the one thing, actually each time we reinforce that, it grows. And eventually it's become a habit. Like it's become a habit that is you just got addicted to that. Even though you know that it causes you suffering, you can't stop yourself doing it. You can't stop yourself reacting to it. You can't stop yourself feeding it. Because it becomes habit. Because you keep repeating and do the same thing again and again and again. And you become so good at it. And that's why when you develop mindfulness, you'll be able to, a present moment awareness, you stop that, you'll be able to see that, to be able to recognize that. So if unable to recognize, you can't really stop that. So first of all, you'll be able to recognize. And be able to recognize is not good enough. Because you need to, first of all, you have to develop that awareness and clear comprehension to be able to see that what we holding on, what we crave for, and we be able to say that first, recognize that, and be able to recognize is not good enough. Then we be able to acknowledge. But sometimes we know that this is something we recognize that. Sometimes we unable to acknowledge that, isn't it? I remember like I know I can see myself like last time like I know that I still, you know that. Sometimes I know that I be very someone that very helpful. I like to help everyone. Then I can see that actually it's come from my sense of self that you want to be liked, you want to be praised, you know, that you're a good person. I can see that myself doing that. But even though I recognize that, I find it difficult to acknowledge that. That actually I can see that actually I'm not that kind. You know, that actually that I being kind, being helpful, actually I'm attached that being a kind person. Even though I be able to see that, it take me a while to be able to really acknowledge that yes, I'm truly not that kind. That I come from the sense of self. But it's okay. We don't have to feel bad. We are not there. It's okay. It's still better than doing something, you know, harmful, isn't it? Even though come from the sense of self, of course we still have sense of self. If we don't have sense of self, we are not here. But then you have to come to the place of acceptance, be able to accept who we are. It's okay that sometimes we still have defilements, sometimes we still get angry, sometimes we still very grumpy, and sometimes we feel agitated and irritated when, you know, and it's fine, sometimes we are very grumpy, but we don't like it, because we are not come to a place of acceptance, to accept who we are, where we at. It's okay that sometimes, you know, we help others, we still come from the sense of self, we want to be, you know, we want to be praised, we want people said that we are a good person. It's fine. We just be honest to ourselves that we accept that who we are. And acceptance is also letting go. It's also kindness. It's okay to be ourselves. It's okay to accept who we are. So we are not there, you know, but not to force yourself that I should be able to do that. And I know sometimes people feel terrible, feel bad if they can't forgive others. They think that they feel terrible. They think that I should be able to forgive. I said, it's okay. You accept yourself. That is true kindness to oneself. We love we love ourselves as we are, even though we are not perfect, even though sometimes we still get upset, sometimes we still grumpy, and sometimes we still say something, we still make mistake, and that is acceptance. So we it's okay that sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we don't feel happy, it's okay. Sometimes we have sadness, sometimes we feel depressed, it's okay. Because the more you try to push it away, you think that I shouldn't feel depressed, I shouldn't feel that way. Actually, we are reinforced that. We make it worse. So it's come to a place of acceptance, accepting ourselves. And first thing, we can't even accept sometimes that many people can't even accept that body growing old, isn't it? They said nowadays that they have all this plastic surgery that make you so look so young. They try to, you know. I've seen people, I've seen last time because my sister have an she have a surgery on her hand because she got an accident. And we saw a lady that she pulled her skin. She really wrapped up the whole face because of the face lifting. And there's so much suffering. I cannot imagine. It's so much suffering because they want to look young. And they cannot accept that, you know. Sometimes that, you know, even someone told me that, you know, they only see other people bring, oh, you see my friend, they look so old, they're forgotten, they also grow old. Isn't it? We can only see others, we think that other people grow old. And in theory, we understand, we say, yeah, everybody grow old, oh, we will die. But how many of us really accept that we're going to die, isn't it? Even though we can say that, oh yeah, we're going to grow old, we're going to die. I can tell you, none of us, even I experienced myself, like, you know, even my mom, you know, when she passed away, other parents pass away. Oh, when I ask how old is a parent, they say, oh, 80, oh, it's a good age. And it's okay, they're old enough to die. If my parents is not old enough to die, isn't it? And it's really, when you hit home, it's different. You know, sometimes, yes, theory, we say, yeah, you know, oh, we're going to grow old. But how many of us really be able to accept that we get sick, we grow old? I remember there was a man that he started to feel that he said that he's worried about his wife, that the hearing getting worse and worse, and then the doctor told him that you have to go back and test how serious is your wife, that because he said that his wife really deaf, cannot hear, so you have to test and let me know. So then you have to test. First of all, you know, you have to test the distance, how deaf. So he went back to test his wife. So he went back, he saw his wife in the kitchen. Then he on from outside, he was outside the kitchen, he called, oh, that honey, what are you cooking? Then he cannot hear. So because he said that, because he think that the wife cannot hear, then he go a bit closer. And then, what we have for dinner, darling, you know, this tonight. And then no reply. Then he go really so close, and then he eventually go very close next to the wife. He said, what do we have, you know, honey, this for tonight? Then the wife turned to him, this is the third time we're having fried chicken. Sometimes we think that, you know, the other person, you know, is a, you know, is green. We can't see that we also grow old. And then he think that the wife cannot hear him because the wife is deaf. Actually, he himself is deaf, cannot hear. And that's why that's the problem, that we keep thinking that the problem is outside. That is the problem. Then we can never solve our problem. We never unable to look in. So what comes up arises within this moment. We always think that, you know, the mind and the object, when there is a contact, what comes up in this moment? So be able to catch that. Be able to catch that, you need to develop clarity, clear comprehension. Your mindfulness have to be strong enough to see that. If you're unable to see that, then you cut the wrong end, isn't it? Rather to cut the object, you cut your whole arm, you cut the wrong end. Then you never solve your problem. That's why, first of all, you have to understand, we have to understand a suffering, we have to understand a problem first. We cannot solve a problem by trying to get rid of it. Then we come to a place of acceptance. Acceptance is also letting go. We accept. It's okay. We letting things be. It's how we feel. It's okay. So if we let it be, things come and go, it will subside by itself. We actually, basically, we don't have to do anything. But the problem is, it's very difficult to do anything because we get used to it, we've been conditioned. And it becomes, we already developed the habit of try to manipulate, try to fix everything. Actually, we don't have to do anything. Because even pleasant feelings come, it will go. Suffering comes, suffering also go. But most of us can't make, when pleasant feelings arises, then we start to think how we're going to make it stay longer. But when the moment you think how to make it stay longer, you miss it, isn't it? Then you start to create suffering and rather to enjoy that moment, to enjoy what you got right now. And then it's and then unpleasant come, it also will go away. By itself, you don't have to do anything. But the more you try to push it away, get rid of it, it will stay longer, isn't it? Sometimes if we try to push away, we have someone say, oh, I just have a divorce, I don't want to think of my ex. And then the harder she try not to think of her ex, she think more. She said, I occupy myself, I go for dancing, I keep myself so busy so that I don't have time to think of him. But he still think of him. So I told her, what's wrong? I said, even you think of him, okay, I still think of him. And it will stop. Because you've been living with this person for all these years, of course you still have the memory of him. So it's not a big deal even you still think of him. You say, okay, well, very interesting, I still think of him. You know, well, and it will stop. But if you try to stop yourself from thinking, actually, you think even more, isn't it? We all have that experience, you know. If you leave it alone, it will stop by itself. That's why letting go, that letting go is only happen that you'll be able to come to a place of acceptance. You accept. Acceptance is also kindness. Also letting go, be letting be, okay, letting things be. Then we'll be able to forgive. So it's okay. We are unable to forgive, it's fine. We are not there yet. We don't force ourselves that I should be able to forgive. And then sometimes people feel bad about themselves. They're beating themselves up. They said that, oh no, I should be able to do that. It's fine. So we forgive ourselves for not able to forgive. So it's okay. Then only after that, you know, then only we be able to let go. So the whole part of practice is a gradual training. So every day, you know, we go a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further. Then eventually, we train ourselves, our mind, to a point that we be able not to affect by the object, the things, you know, that affect us. Whatever happen, we be able to make peace. We be able to make peace with that situation. That mind is become equanimous. That is how we develop our mind, to train our mind. Because we cannot control life. We cannot control what is going to happen. Because the problem is we only want things that we want. Things that we don't want. It's just like you want to only have right hand, you don't want to have left hand. It's just like the egg whirly wind. Even enlightenment also experienced that egg whirly wind. You know, you if you got praise, you got blame. You cannot always get praise, isn't it? So that's part of life. But the problem is we try to manipulate. We think that we can only avoid, you know, to have any blame, then only have praise. It's impossible. That if we think we try to do that, actually we create more suffering for ourselves. You have gain, you have loss. So then when we have gain, so we should save. Like the Buddha said, you know, saving, you save for when you have no income, then at least you have the saving. You know, when life goes your way, everything's smooth, you know, you're making lots of money, you make a gain. So you should save some money because things not always go your way, not always smooth, isn't it? Then that's why you have to know how to plan. And then it's always like, you know, you have fame and defame. So you have pain, you have happiness. But of course, life is like that. You know, when suffering ends, happiness comes. When happiness ends, suffering comes. And that is part of life. But we expect to be otherwise. So when we expect to be otherwise, we suffer. So that's why we understand that. Then this is how we train our mind to become at ease and at peace. Whatever happened. So that's why we cannot control what's going to happen to us. But at least we can train our mind how to deal with the situation when things happen. So that's why that you have to, that's why the letting go have to, the cut off, you have to cut off the right side, not the wrong side, not the other side. Don't cut off your arms, you know, the wrong side. You don't cut off the wrong side. And this is the letting go, you know, the whole path of practice is like, it's a gradual training, it will not happen overnight. But eventually you can see that you will lessen your suffering and things that used to bother you, that would no longer bother you. Maybe, you know, in the past, that maybe takes you a week, you know, it's bothering for a week. But now maybe, you know, a couple of days, imagine how much suffering you have lessened. Sometimes you have to look back how much suffering you have lessened, and it's going to go away immediately. It's just like you keep adding on fuel, the fire will keep burning. Even though we stop adding fuel, the fire is still burned. But the fire becomes smaller and smaller. Eventually, it stops. This is how the practice, it takes a time. It's a gradual training. So it's whole path of practice. So you need to develop present moment awareness. You'll be able to recognize, be able to acknowledge. Because recognize is not good enough. Acknowledge and accept. Forgive, and then only you can let go. So it's a process. So it takes time. So that's like when we get what we want, that it's not necessary that it's thing that is really good if we always get what we want. You know, sometimes that's like when we can't get what we want, it's like, yeah, it's good that I can practice, I can live without, you know. That's why if I would not wish you all to get what you want. I will wish you that may you not always get what you want. Not to get everything, you know, because sometimes it's not really a good thing when we can't always get what we want, we can't get what we want. We cannot handle, isn't it? It's a big thing. It become a big deal. So I offer this for Dharma reflection. May this teaching be of benefit to all of you. Okay, first question is from Malaysian. Ajahn, how do we face our fears, like struggling with living, like financial difficulties that overwhelm us and get fearful getting up each morning to face another day? So the best way to deal with fear is to stay present. Bring your mind back to present moment awareness to stay. And when the fear comes up, you stay with the fear. Just because, excuse me, one of the ways to face the fear is not to suppress and not to run away. When you run away, actually you reinforce that. You stay with the fear. And another ways you can go back to your present moment, you can go to your body awareness. You bring your mind to present moment awareness. When the fear arises, you focus on your body. When the fear arises, how do you feel that moment? Do you have any tightness in your body? So if you feel sometimes, some people when I ask them, but how do you feel when there's fear? Then they feel that they have tension in the body. So you do the body sweeping. You just bring your awareness into your body and just stay. And this mind, you practice mindfulness on your body, aware, the awareness on your body. Just aware that it is tight. Because when the fear comes, normally followed by thoughts, thinking. So, and that thinking will proliferate, will project into the future, and you become more and more fearful. Then actually you are feeding it. That's why you go back to your body. Because where your body, you go to your sensation and feelings. And that is a causal object. Because that fear, that emotion is a more subtle object. And to be able to really stay with the fear is not everybody can do that. If your mind is not stable enough, and you don't have enough, your samadhi is not strong enough, it's very difficult to stay with the fear. But of course, stay with the fear is the best way. But some people that they haven't got enough samadhi, the mind is not stable enough, the mind is not calm enough to be able to stay with the fear. So I normally encourage people to do to go back to the body, because the body sensation feeling is a causal object. It's easier to go with the causal object. So you just stay with you go back to your body and feel how is it like when you have fear. So then that is cut off. Then your mind, you will not suck into the thinking. So you stay with your body. And another way to help with overcome fear, also you can do that. When the fear arises, you can breathe in, because that we are not wanting the fear, because it is unpleasant. So that's why when we do that, when the fear arises, we breathing in fear, breathing out peace. So when we do that, actually we put that impact in our mind, telling us that to accept that, to embrace that fear. It's okay to have this feeling of fear. So it's breathing in fear, breathing out peace. So we make peace with fear, and keep that reminding the mind, and they keep doing that. And then when we do that, that actually is you cut off. Your mind will not go into that thinking when you do that, because you've been, breathing in fear, breathing out peace. So you embrace the fear, you accept that fear. It's okay to feel that, because it's unpleasant. We don't like to experience that. We don't like to feel that. That's why most people try to run away, or they try to distract themselves doing other things, shopping, or doing other things than not to feel that, not to look at it. And running away or suppressing, actually you reinforce. So you can do that breathing exercise, breathing in fear, breathing out peace, make peace with that. Or if your samadhi is strong enough, if your mind is stable enough, if then the best way is to stay with the fear. So when the fear go to the max, it will subside by itself. So I have the experience, when I was the first time when first time I was staying in the cave, I was really terrified. I was so fearful until I don't know what to do. I was so scared. And then I remember one of the teaching from the Buddha when he was a bodhisattva, and he said that when you have the fear arises, if you walk, you keep walking. You're standing, you continue to stand. You lie down, you continue to lie down. You see, you don't change your posture, you just stay. Then I was lying down that time because I was so scared. I was really terrified. I was holding the blanket to cover my head because I was so fearful. Then actually I just stay. I didn't move. I just stay holding the blanket and cover my head. I stay. And I stay, just stay with that fear. And the fear go to the really, very fearful, come to the maximum point. When it hit the maximum point, actually it subside. And the moment the fear to hit goes to the maximum point, it's hit. Because nothing will go up, isn't it? They go to a certain point, they bound to subside. Everything is a cycle, isn't it? Everything, your depression, you go up, you boom, and depression again. It's like, it's all the cycle is like that. Life is like that. Everything is like that. Even the fear is also like that. So I just stay until it's hit the maximum point. The moment they hit the maximum point, it subside. I can tell you, it's so nice. The moment it subside, I was so peaceful. Very peaceful and very nice. That because letting go, you just that, because once it hit the maximum point, it subside. I was so peaceful, was so calm, and then I started to get down and to look around, nothing, because I feel like someone looking at me, someone walking towards me. Actually, it's just all my papancha, my my projection because of the fear. Then you start to project, you know, there's something, you know, you hear something, you suspect, oh, must be someone. That actually nothing, and I was so peaceful. So if you prepare to stay with the fear is very good. Or you do your body awareness, go back to when that fear arises, you feel how is it feel like, go to the body awareness, or you do the breathing exercise. And this can help. This is a few ways to help with that fear. And some people, the fear come from because of the in their life, they go through a lot of abuses, especially when they were young. And sometimes again comes up, and then you continue to revisit that again and again, and that's again that we can remind ourselves that, you know, that is past, and then you talk to yourself that you're little, when you're a child, you're just telling that, you know, that it's a past, you know. That is what happening in the past. That is not our true home. The true home is now. Now is the true home. So we keep bringing our mind back to present moment awareness. That's why it's important that we develop, practice present moment awareness in our daily life. Whatever we do, we try to bring our mind back to this present moment awareness. If we be able to do that, then we will not suck in into that. Because when fear arises, followed by the thoughts, the thinking, when we suck in, actually, it go worse, become more and more fearful, and then the next time when we feed it, next time the fear comes out. Each time that it's become more, and the intensity of that become greater and greater, because we feeding it. It's like a demon; it grow and grow and grow bigger. So have to stop feeding it. So that's why go to body awareness, practice body awareness. To feel the tightness, the sensation, the feelings of your body, that takes your mind away from following your thoughts. Or you do the breathing exercise, or you stay. If your mind is strong enough, stable enough, you stay with that fear. So when the fear hit to the maximum point, it will subside. And there's another one. I know a person who lost a motivation in life. Is it okay to encourage him to chase worldly dreams? Telling him to do nothing seems to make his depression even worse. Actually, a lot of people think like to do nothing is not that physically doing nothing. It's a mind. But you can't really stop the mind. That's why when someone depressed, actually it's good to encourage them to give, to be a service. Because when we give, we have lots of joy. Like our Katina reason is, they see people so happy, they give. They donate money, they help. And all the volunteers, they're so happy, they help us, you know. Bill there, he come early in the morning, will help us. And then after that, I said, oh, thank you so much that you help us. And then they said, thank you for giving me the opportunity to help. And actually, that be of service, give, help, bring lots of joy. It's not that, don't ask a person to do nothing. Actually, you can do something like helping others, be of service. But I can help, what can I give? And get the person out, you know, go to visit, you know, this to visit the poor, you know, to help with cooking, you know, for the poor and things like that. It actually bring lots of joy. But don't ask the person stay at home and do, because telling him to do nothing seems to make his depression even worse. Of course his depression will be worse. Because you think even more, because you can't stop the thinking. So that's why at least you do something, and that's why start with present moment awareness and do something, the giving, be of service. And that's really help with the depression. I have a question about five realms. How come the animal's realm is the most close to the hell realm? Yes, because the animal's realm, there is there's lots of suffering. And there's the animals down, and then the hell realm, there are lots of suffering. That's why the Buddha said it's very difficult to practice because too much suffering. And in human realm, you have both. That's why you cannot avoid suffering, can only have happiness. But we learn the skillful way how to transform our suffering. This is how we every day we practice, we go a little bit further, a little bit further. Then we become be able to make peace and at ease and at peace with whatever happening. That is the practice. It's not to get rid of the things outside, not to fix it, not to try to change anyone, not try to change other people, but we the practice is to change ourselves to how to relate to the situation, how to be able to deal with the situation skillfully. And not to get sucked in. And that is the practice. That is, we develop our mind and train our mind. This is the practice. And if one thing and not one thing causes suffering, what is the middle way? The middle way is the wisdom to see. Sometimes, like, you know, sometimes we tend to swing from one way to another, isn't it? Like, but sometimes you ask people, let go, then they let go, they don't care, you know. Then they think that they're letting go. I know someone said to me that, oh, I'm let go of my children. I asked my children to move out from the house. I want to let go of them. I said, this is not how you let go. Actually, they see that what you attach, that is, you come from, you know, is not that the physical body. And I another person said to me that I don't want my mom to attach to me so much. That's why I try to avoid. I don't want to call her. I don't want to contact her so that she will not attach to me. I said, this is not how you practice letting go, I told her. I said, you should call your mother more often to let her know that you're okay, you know, to make her happy. I said, the letting go is not that cutting off, you know, like you cutting off your arms, is not, you know, that actually that you call her, you know, and to tell her what's going on with you and make her happy, and she knows that you're okay, she'll be happy. I said, letting go is not that to get rid of her. She think that if I don't contact her, so she would less attach to me. I said, this is not how you attach. You know, like for example, you have a wound, you don't cut off your toe, have a wound, you don't cut off the toe, isn't it? And most people do that. I said, no, you don't do that. So that's like middle way. Sometimes too much decide, you know, let me go to middle. That's like middle way actually is the wisdom, the clarity that we see, you know, be able to see that is where the wisdom comes. So to be able to walk the middle way, you need to develop wisdom. You need to develop the clarity. Without the wisdom, without clarity, you can't see. So that's why we will swing from one end to another. So as we develop our wisdom, when we have more and more clarity, our swing will be less. This is how, you know, we still swing, but we're getting better, you know. At least we don't swing from here, this end to another hand. And, you know, so as we develop our wisdom, so we still swing, but we swing less. Then less and less and less. Eventually, when we have the wisdom, it becomes middle way. So you still swing, it's okay. So it's just like, you know, you try to tune, you know, your guitar. Sometimes, okay, it's a bit too much, you know, it's a bit too loose. Or, you know, you have to keep, you need lots of practice to keep practicing. So don't worry, you don't always get it right. It's fine, we don't get it right. So we just acknowledge that, okay, I don't get it right yet, okay. So next time, we learn, we do it better next time, okay. We know that it doesn't work, okay. This time, you know, a bit more this side. So, and then we know that, okay, this doesn't work, okay. This time got a bit more this side. So actually, you need to keep practicing and keep develop the clarity. That is the middle way, actually. Actually, it's a wisdom, that is a clarity to be able to see. With that clarity, you can't. That's why it's okay. We will swing. Sometimes we can't get it right all the time. It's okay that we don't get it right all the time. We just being honest, just acknowledge, just recognize, acknowledge, accept, forgive, and let go. So any more questions or comments? Yes. Yes.
Did you end up going to Burma?
Yeah, I did. Because I let go, I said, okay, if I can go, it's a bonus. I can go, I'm okay. Because before that, I'm okay. You know, so sometimes that when we trigger off that one thing, and then we think that we have to have it, but actually we don't have to, isn't it? Like a lot of things that we don't have to have it, but sometimes because once we got sucked in, we think that we have to have it, and then we think that we can't live without, but actually we can live without. That's why it's again come back to the clarity, the if your mind is peaceful enough, you know, to be able to say that. But because when we are not stable, our mind is not stable, and we don't have enough samadhi, we very easily we just got sucked into that craving, that one thing. It's not one thing is a bad thing. It's nothing. It's not good or bad. We just recognize that if we feed it, we create more suffering for ourselves. It's not good or bad or right or wrong. So we just acknowledge and recognize that and acknowledge that. Is there any more questions or comments? Yes.
Thanks for the wonderful talk. Thanks for the wonderful deep talk. Yeah, I like the way you say about acceptance. No, when we face a difficult situation.
Yeah.
You see, most of us, when we face difficult situation, there's a tendency for the mind. You know, we keep thinking. You know, and then because we want to fight the situation. We want the way we want way what we want to think. You know, and then we feed the demon becomes big. And sometimes it gets very, it's a suffering.
Yeah.
So the thing is, when you mention this, I think of myself, you know, on the past. So when you come to the term of accepting this thing, the demon goes down, you know.
Yeah.
And then you feel much better. And then with understanding of impermanence, this thing, you know, and things are not certain. And sometimes things happen with, it could be a blessing in disguise too.
Yeah.
You know that.
They say sometimes we try to change others. Don't try to change them. Mm. It's just to accept the way they are, rather than to try to, because it's difficult enough to change ourselves, isn't it? And we try to change others, isn't it? It's difficult enough to change ourselves. And then we try to change others. They say sometimes I try to tell people, don't try to fix your problem. Don't try to change others, you know, but you know, you go back and you change, you accept it. Mm. We love the person as the person is. Yep. Don't try to change the person. They say sometimes I say, if the person don't do that, no longer that person. Isn't it? I say it's okay. But truly, I have my experience when I have, like last time I had problem with my friend, and I was so, this used to agitate me and really annoy me, that then actually I have to work with that, and eventually I'd be able to really accept the way she is. I feel so much a relief.
Yes, that's
and
right.
Actually, whatever this person do doesn't bother me because But in the past, it used to drive me crazy, drive me nuts, you know. Like, ew, she do that again, you know, and then then after that, and I start to work with that. And eventually, I come to really a place of acceptance, accepting this person as the person is, not to try to change that person. I feel there's such a relief.
Relief, that's right.
And then the person, whenever the person do, really doesn't bother me anymore. Okay. when someone complained to me, you know, so and so, you know, and I do that again, I said, this person is. If this person don't do that, it's no longer this person. I said, it's okay. This is, you know, it just accept. Like, you know, like the cat do what the cat do, isn't it?
Yeah.
The children, that sometimes the parents expect the children, you know, like adult, you know, so restrained. I say, it's okay. Children naughty is normal. I said, you know, this is what children do. I say, why you try to control them and ask them to sit still? It's okay. They can't sit still. It's fine. Like, a lot of parents try to make the children like to sit still. I said, it's okay. You know, this is what children do. Children, you know, this is what children do, isn't it? Why you want to control them? I said, no. You know, just to let them be, accept the person as the person is.
But most people know the mind is forerunner of all states. They keep thinking, you know? And that's where the suffering comes.
Because people think that I think enough that I will solve the problem. And the thing that I keep thinking, and sometimes it's good that you sit and relax and step back, you know, and step back again. Actually, sometimes if you don't have the clarity, instead of solving problem, actually you create more problem. Sometimes you have to sit down and relax. And then how to solve the problem. And some people think that I have to solve the problem right now. And actually, instead of solving the problem, actually you create more problem because you haven't got a bigger picture. Because sometimes you have to relax and sit back and have a look at the bigger picture. Because sometimes we think that we solve one problem, we create another problem. That's why you don't have to, sometimes you just sit back and relax. Especially when we are confused and if we are in that state of mind that confused and have lots of anger or agitation, irritation, actually that's not the time that you try to make any decision. Just leave it. So all you need to do, find a place that is peaceful, make yourself as peaceful as you can. Just relax. Then when you relax, you come with then you'll be able to think. Sometimes you can't think when you're in that kind of the state of mind, you cannot think. So that's why you need clarity. That's why that is the clarity, it's just a wisdom that you to solve the problem. But sometimes people think that I have to solve the problem. You know, you can't. Sometimes, you know, especially when you're confused. So that's why I keep telling people, don't make any decision if you're confused. Or you're not in you don't have the clarity, but just leave it. Because even, you know, whatever decision you make, I tell you, it's not going to work. It's not going to solve the problem because you don't have the clarity, you don't have the picture. So that's why. So
thanks for the talk.
Be peaceful. Okay. Any more questions or comments? Yes.
So if I understand that the desire is the cause of the suffering, but sometimes the desire is also a good thing because it makes you achieve certain things.
Okay.
So how do you measure?
Okay.
How much desire do I have to have? Okay. Where do I have to stop the desire?
Okay. So actually, it's not all desires is bad. If we don't have desires, we can't go to toilet, we can't eat. No, some of the desires don't have that consequences that don't lead to suffering. That is just the need, the body need. So actually, you know for yourself, when that's triggered, that agitation, irritation, and that's the desires that causes that. But for example, you have a desire to practice meditation, and that's normally won't trigger off anger or whatever, you know what I mean? So then it's fine. But if the desires that, you know, trigger off and lots of fear, anger, and that is the desires. The Buddha called this kind of desires as unrighteous desires. The Buddha said. So unrighteous, but normally they will trigger off your defilements. But for example, you have desires, so I would like to help my friend. And actually you have lots of joy. You don't have that negative emotion. You will have the positive emotion like joy, happiness. Like you say, wow, you know, I would like to help my friend. And then you feel good. I like to give something to my friend. I like to make some offerings. You feel good. Sometimes like the Ananda said, you have the desires to stop the desires, the desire to practice. So if you have the desire to practice, that will not trigger off. That will not lead to that defilements. So that is the righteous desire. It's not the unrighteous desire. So it's not all desires bad. Because, like, for example, if we don't have desires, that, you know, like, when we're hungry, we need to eat. So, and we need to go to the toilet. So not all desires that leads us to suffering. But you know for yourself, when you have that negative emotion, then you know that this is This is not the righteous desires. The Buddha called this unrighteous desire. The unrighteous desire will lead you to suffering, will lead you to grave fear. Because you are not the one thing itself. But the desires of like doing something good, desires of keeping restraining yourself, and that leads you to a positive emotion. That's why you judge yourself by the either is a positive emotion or the negative emotion. The positive emotion like happiness, joy, and this is the positive emotion. So is it answer your questions?
Next. Thank you.
Is it answer your questions make sense to you?
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes it's just difficult to realize if your desire was good until later.
Yeah. From the cause and effect, you can see the effect that you have so much joy, and there is a righteous desire. So you have so much suffering. that is the unrighteous desire.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions or comments? I think, okay, good night, that's it, okay.